Hello, this is Mark, and you're listening to The Crimes of Long Island. Not Long Island, but Long Island.
Do I say Long Island?
Yes, you
well,
do.
Now
your
I
accent,
did, but...
Your accent is ridiculous, Lindsay.
Stop it. I didn't even grow up here. Okay.
That's Dr. Lindsay over there. welcome to the show, my co-host Lindsay. How are you doing?
I am doing fabulous, my co-host Mark.
My co-host. And today we're going back to the future, back to the past, to 1978, winter.
Yep. December 4th, 1978.
Might not be winter yet, right? December 4th?
If we had Halloween decorations up before my fucking birthday, mid-September, we're all ahead on the seasons. December 4th is definitely winter.
Well, Halloween decorations entered, I think it was in Target, the end of August.
Oh, my God.
Which is crazy. And then I went to Costco around that same period of time, and they had Christmas trees up. It's crazy. They have, like, three aisles of Christmas trees and lights, blah, blah, blah. And then they have one little menorah. It's out of stock, you know? It's like, thanks a lot, Costco. I feel really good about this representation. we're talking about something people may have heard of. Now, I did a strike through... not really against you, but more along the series, because you brought up Unsolved Mysteries. Now I like Unsolved Mysteries. I think it's a cute show.
Do you have any familiarity with it, Mark?
I casually watched it, but I have a podcast called Unsolved Mysteries Rewind. It's on hiatus right now, and it was started because of, another person whose idea it was, and then she abandoned the project and left me holding the bag. So now I have a podcast about a topic that I don't really have the craziest amount of interest in.
But that's sort of how this podcast came about, Mark, because I guessed it on that, and I was like, I'm super into this, into crime and stuff, and you were like, really?
Yeah, it's true, but you made one statement in a very early episode. Maybe, I don't know if it actually made it to... an episode, but you said, are there really that many crimes on Long Island? And do people really know
there
about
are. There
but,
are.
And you're like, are there really that many that people know about? And there really are. You could say there are crimes in Seattle, in Portland, definitely, in different parts of the country. But there are very few places that I guess are known for scandals and crimes like Long Island, or Florida is a good example. That's a place.
Florida, yeah,
But you can't really, there aren't that many places in the country where you can say, yeah, there's a lot of crime that happens there. And there's definitely a lot of crime that happens here. Crazy.
There is. I mean, statistically speaking, you know, like, because there's a website where you can look up how much crime happens in one community in relation to another. But I think it's like the outrageous and often pretentious nature of the crimes.
Yeah.
That makes it stand out.
Hey, I have an idea. Let's go break into a mansion. I'm going to put on my Adidas jumpsuit. And we're going to go and get the Hope Diamond. How's that sound, Lindsay?
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
That sounds pretty good. Last week, I was just robbing Johnny Carson. It's hilarious.
Yeah, you're going to have to explain about that.
I don't know much about it.
Okay. So what we're talking about, or where I sort of started this case, is the murder of Lawrence Lever. This is in Suffolk County, Old Brookville. It was called Sunny Hill Farm Estate, which, Mark, you somehow found what it is today. I was incapable of finding it, but it looks about right.
Yeah,
it's described as a 30-acre farm. The link you sent me is 26.5. I'll call it even.
Yeah, you know. Rich people just rounding up when it comes to acreage. You know. Oh, it's just shy of 3 acres.
Yeah, either way, this place is enormous. And this guy had 11 thoroughbred racehorses, which apparently he didn't race. But so... Lawrence Lever was a well-known corporate real estate developer of possibly questionable ethics. He is killed when he attempts to stop two young men from breaking into his ginormous house, mansion. And as I will explain later, I started here because this story is sort of close to my heart in a way. But I skipped out. Let's start with Lawrence because he's, you know... Well, he's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he was dead in 1978, 50 years, yes. 45 years yes. ago or something.
Yes.
So, all right. So a lot of the notes really discuss why Lawrence Lever, might have been a good target. Also, you have 11 thoroughbred horses.
Yeah.
You have all of this money. You have a very questionable ethics about you, where how you got land for certain projects and all this kind of stuff. I would imagine, and I think this is where you were alluding to in the notes, he would be a good target for maybe organized crime as well, because, you know, Godfather horse head and horse racing. You just don't own 11 thoroughbred horses as an investment. I don't
know, unless it's to invest in cutting them off and putting in people's bets.
Yeah, like I just have 10 horses now, you know?
Right. Well, I also, and I'll summarize it, but I also thought the background was interesting because, there's a lot of places that we know that get referenced here, but basically he began building homes and then went from building homes to real estate purchases and largely. Started as domestic. What's non-corporate? I don't know.
He started in his like mid-20s.
Yeah, and then he moved into more corporate purchases. He's kind of sketchy. Like there was a lot of like little
payola. I think going on.
I think so too. Or like sleight of hands. He at some point he joined forces. Clearly, I have an opinion on this with New York State Assembly Speaker Carlino in 1962, who was then accused of killing a park bill in Nassau County. And it's nearby to us because it was Cedarhurst's Mrs. Roland Berg, who was the whistleblower. Apparently, for 10 years, she had been attempting to acquire 119 acres of land from the Long Island Water Company to create a park in southwestern Nassau County. Do you know where this is?
No, I did a quick search and I was like, I don't.
You didn't care. I got you.
No. I cared. It was just we are in southwestern Nassau County.
Right.
Right. Where in God's name in 1962 was there 119 acres of free land?
I don't know, but don't we have a water company now by Bay Park?
Yes, but I don't. Okay. That is not 119 acres.
No, it is not.
If I had to point my finger at different areas that have now. All right, I do have a question about this. Are they saying that this 119 acres of land was purchased and used? Or is it, we don't know what happened to it?
Oh, no, we do. So we do, because in February of, so this woman is trying to push it through and Carlino's like, yeah. And then all of a sudden, about a year late, or all of a sudden right before, he's acting in a public capacity. And then he kind of secretly like slides the land over to Lawrence Lever.
Yeah.
And they use a dummy corporation with two of Lever's relatives, some guy named Brody and some guy named Aronson. And the next thing you know, unfortunately, and to Mrs. Berg's horror and disappointment and probably screeches, in January of 1962, the whole park idea is rezoned as a commercial area.
Now, I think I'm thinking about this more and more just now, and I'm going to throw a hypothesis out there about this. I just need to find. So in Baldwin is a good example of places that have like newer houses. another area where this kind of land could have existed was Lido Beach.
Mm.
Lido Beach, I would imagine, was all developed in early 70s,
okay.
mid-70s. So I don't know if that's 119 acres, but it's probably the only area that I can think of that was completely just nothing. It was like a nice Nike missile silo base.
Does that count as South?
Yeah.
Mm, okay. Sure. Okay.
But Baldwin or that, I'm thinking.
Right. Well, you know, he also pulled some shit like this in right by Green Acres Mall. But so.
Where? In Queenside or in the.
Long Island side, I believe.
You know how, like, behind Green Acres Mall, like, I don't know if you ever, like, made a wrong turn, you end up in this, like, enclave of streets behind the mall, and it's, like, all, like, it's residential and everything, but there are these kind of, and they're not projects.
Well, no, these would be office buildings.
Oh, office buildings. Okay. Forget
it. Yeah. Well, and also, I always make a wrong turn in Green Acres Mall. I don't know how to navigate that.
So, wait, the 119 yes. acres ended up being used for commercial purposes?
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Then I didn't forget that. I'm thinking it's Oil City then. Done up by Costco.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Wait, Oil City is by... It's when you go over the... Whatever. I understand. Okay. Meanwhile, I thought you'd like this part, Mark. In July 12th, 1962, Rockville Center has the most ridiculously exciting board meeting. As Dr. Ralph G. Sorley, who was a constant critic of board politics, is forcibly removed from the room by two policemen, one of whom later had to be treated at a hospital because he was burned on his face and lip.
This is
by
the crazy. This is this.
I know. By the cigar Sorley was smoking at the time.
All right, let's back up for a second. So yeah. You could smoke during these board meetings.
Yeah, but probably only cigars and only if you're a man.
And drinking scotch, you know, it's like you just picture it like a Mad Men episode all of a sudden.
I do, or Daddy Warbucks from Annie.
Daddy Warbucks.
But, right. But the issue was there was a wealthy family whose house didn't blend in with the others, which, okay, I hear you. I know where this might have been. And another issue on the docket that got pushed through was Lever's plan to rezone an acre and a half of land to use it for commercial purposes on Merrick Road between Windsor and South Center Avenue. Mm-hmm. And Sorley makes a good point. He points out that Lever wouldn't have gone to so much trouble to make this happen until he already had tacit agreement from the board. He's basically pointing out that Lever's probably bribing people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would imagine that's how it always works, even now.
I agree. Then in April of 1967, they call it a corporate park, which I think is like an FU to poor Mrs. Roland Berg.
Yeah.
Is scheduled. It's to be developed. It's known as the Platinum Park. That's also involves Lawrence Lever. Then he announces in 1969, he's building a new hall in Rockville Center for free, a 4-acre site on the east side of Melrose, south of Sunrise Highway, but spoiler alert, he actually was going to use the majority of it for corporate.
So he pisses off a lot of people.
Yeah.
And he makes a lot of people happy. He, like, it's one of those things where he makes people a lot of money, he pays off a lot of people, and he pisses off a lot of people. Probably more pissed off than anything.
Yes, 100%.
And he seems to do it right in their faces. Like, this is, you know, this isn't like in the middle of the desert, you know, 500 acres. This is like on Long Island where everything is kind of out in the open.
Yeah. And I kind of wish we were at that Board of Ed meeting.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that.
I wouldn't mind that either. We should video it had we been there, obviously.
Well, you have like the 16 millimeter film back then.
It would have been worth it. Like the John F. Kennedy assassination film.
Right. Back and to the right. So the murder that took place, it's early December. It was around 6 o'clock, 6:15 to 6:30. And Larry Lever, who's 53 years old, probably worth at the time, do we know how much he was worth? Probably $50 million, you know, in those dollars.
I'm like going to go by a bazillion. Yeah, I don't know.
Too much. Carol, who's your age. So you have to kind of put yourself in a psychological status, like thing where it's like these people break into your house and you're going through this at your age. You know.
This is true. It was a second marriage for both of them, and they both had two kids from a previous marriage.
Yeah. So they're on a 30-acre estate, as you said before, really 26.5. But it's like you wish it was 30.
Yeah.
And these two masked men enter the house. Now, I heard it's three people total. But
you know, there are a lot of conflicting reports, which is also sketchy.
1978, I would imagine, if you have this kind of money, you have cameras.
No, like, I don't think so. Maybe, but I don't think so. I don't know if you have cameras. I don't think you... I'm going to say no, but with no actual substance behind it. But I'm going to say you have... Well, we know you have staff, which is part of what makes this whole story weird.
Here's the thing. I feel personally, there would be cameras. There would be those big ones that are like the size of like an Atari or something, like hanging off the side of a house. And because if you have this kind of money and this, and you're dealing with this type of thing, this cannot be the only time that he was targeted for something.
Okay, Mark, can I just say something about your cameras? Have you ever watched gas station footage of a crime?
Yeah, I watch all the, I love it. Okay, yeah, they're horrible.
Yeah, well, that's my point. Like, the cameras are going to show what, even if they were the cameras.
I'm just saying, I would also imagine that Larry Lever would have a security detail, you know, somebody.
I mean, what about just a gate? Like, yeah.
Like an 100%. Electric gate. You have this kind of house, you have a button, right, where you can push it and you get the power gate, you know, and you have somebody sitting up there making sure. Or is it, is he like, that's not who we are type of
person? Or is he mobbed up in some way that he doesn't, you know.
Or is he mobbed up? I mean, if he's mobbed up, he should definitely have those cameras.
Unless he thinks he's protected.
Yeah, or even it's possible.
I don't know.
Yeah, would Larry Lever be protected? I mean, what is he really bringing to the table anymore? They, you know, it's kind of like, well, we're done with you.
Also, I don't know. I think he would have had some. I don't think he was ready to stop at 53.
No, definitely not.
No.
With his much younger wife.
Yeah. Right. So he is home with his wife, Carol, and there are two sons that were home. So there's Stephen, who is a son from Lever's first marriage. There's a maid and a cook. And then there's also another son in the house, Richard, who is Carol's son from her first marriage.
I have a maid and a cook. They're armed, in my opinion. Right?
You think the maid's armed?
No, I'm saying if I have a maid and a cook, like if I'm living on this estate, I don't have security, I'm going to make sure they're armed.
I would not, because maybe they could kill you.
You throw them the extra bucks, like you pay them and they're happy. Why would they want to, you know, lose their job?
To gain all the money?
To get that 6-carat diamond?
That was not a 6-carat diamond. Well, okay. Yeah. So there's a maid and a cook. There's Richard, who doesn't hear anything and never comes downstairs.
He's up there listening to Pink Floyd, smoking weed, and like his big headphones on.
And good for fucking him. Yeah. There's Stephen, who, by the way, I have met before. We'll get
what?
To that. Yeah. Yeah. And so,
you gotta get him on the line.
Oh, I could, his son actually is our age. Is my age. I'm sorry, you're old. His son is my age, and we were briefly neighbors.
Really?
Yep. Yep. Spoiler alert.
Stephen's real name Scott?
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, you have a closeness to this.
Yeah. Lawrence Lever's first wife. After they divorced, she ended up marrying my grandmother's brother. So she's my great aunt. She is still thankfully alive. She is a wonderful woman and she is doing quite well. I did not reach out to her about this because it did not seem appropriate. And she's like 90 years old, but, this is part of why this case appealed to me and part of why I went on many rabbit holes that I'm going to try to avoid unless relative, but
great.
There you go.
But yeah, that's, so you're going to actually bring in some, exclusive information that may or may not be easily verifiable, but at the same time, you can't beat the family sitting around the dinner table Thanksgiving talking shit about each other.
Yeah. And by the way, my family also has another murder story, but unfortunately it didn't occur in Long Island. So
my family has cool stories, but I mean, aside from my uncle mysteriously drowning in the 50s. There's really not too much, but I do think my uncles might have had a hand in that. But that's a whole different story.
Yeah, that's a whole different story.
Yeah.
Basically, one of the men wore a ski mask. One wore a stocking pulled over his head. Mark said there are reports of a third. I went by newspapers.com and then Google. And they attempted to herd the occupants of the house into one room.
I love that. I love the whole herding. It is very visual where it's like, all right, everybody get in there.
Right. And so that fits in with some of the quote unquote dinner time bandit victims. However, not all. So just keep that in mind and I'll revisit that.
There's a lot of weirdness here, though. All right. So this house is humongous, right?
Yeah.
There are, you know, there's guest house, I think. There's a pool house. How do they know there's no one else here?
That's an excellent question. It's an excellent question because this house is huge. And okay. And also, half of the dinner time bandit, quote, victims, literally, as I imagined, they were eating dinner and the person would climb, let's say throw up a bunch of sheets tied together because I like that visual better. You know, throw a bunch of sheets up to the second floor, mm-hmm. scale it up like it's like Adventures in Babysitting or whatever, and then climb in, rob the place, and leave before anyone knew what happened.
Right.
Here, we've got the, quote, dinner time bandit who somehow psychically knows that there's no one there, nor only people in one room. It's also 6 o'clock. I say that's early for dinner. But and they didn't know there were other people in the house. Richard was upstairs high as a kite.
It's so, you know, weird. It's so weird.
It's very weird. Also weird, as they're attempting, there's two different stories. One is as these robbers are attempting to herd Lawrence, Carol, a maid and a cook into a room, and possibly another child, Lawrence Lever attempts to grab his rifle. While the maid and cook rush to his aid, and then Lawrence is shot in the struggle. But then there's another. But what? He has rifles in every room?
I mean, the maid and the cook would be armed.
Okay, fine. But you wouldn't arm them because in another one, it's a shotgun. In another story, it's a shotgun.
I didn't read anywhere that he may have been a hunter. I mean, it's possible. Some people use, I don't know, I guess I would have a rifle and a shotgun here and there if I was
sure, fine. But would they be in
loaded? I don't know.
Would they be in your foyer?
Unless it was maybe antique. Is it possible like it was just like hanging up there? It's like, oh, that was Billy the Kid's rifle.
That would be kind of awesome. But then I don't know if it would be like filled with bullets.
No, it wouldn't. Or musket or something.
A musket.
I don't know. Well, we also know that he attempted to arm himself with a rifle. That doesn't mean it was loaded. It doesn't mean it wasn't an antique. It could have been plastic for all we know.
Right. But I don't recall the dinner time bandits. Oh, no, they did often have. So in my mind, but dinner time bandits, they usually rang the doorbell at dinner. They were dressed in jogger suits. And then when they came to the door, they had a knife or a gun, but they never used. I think the gun would have been like plastic, like, you know, dime store variety. And with the knife, I feel like you could just slam the door really fast. So
yeah, like I feel like you're not getting into my house with a knife, personally.
No. No.
I don't think.
I mean, I don't think so.
My dogs will bite your knee, your ankles.
My cats will run and hide.
Yeah. They'll hiss. No, they'll love the intruders.
Exactly.
But so, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't seem to me that Golder has a history that is violent.
No, and we're getting to Alan Golder is the dinner time bandit for those of you who don't know. But just to clear up what happened here, so they grab money, jewels, something, and then a 6.1 carat diamond ring valued at $40,000, which I had originally put in how much it was now. It's like $500,000.
Right.
Was taken from his wife, Carol's finger. Now, I have to say,
is this side note going public?
Why not?
Oh, no, I'm asking. It's an amazing side
note. Yeah, it's a side note. It's public. My mom's side of the family, particularly my mom, is kind of unreliable. But I grew up with the knowledge that my Aunt Gloria's first husband's wife's finger was cut off during a robbery to get a ring. Now, I didn't know this was the Dinner Time Bandit until Mark and I started doing this podcast. And I went back to my family and was like, I remember two stories growing up because my family's from Long Island and then they went to Florida because that's what you have to do. So it's a law. And so when I looked into it, there's no reference of that.
Nothing.
But I have to say, would you really? Some of the reports say it was at the point of them taking the ring that Lawrence interfered, and that's how he ended up getting shot. And I'm 45. My fingers swell at night. You know, like I could see it happening that when they attempt to like.
We also don't have a photo of Carol's hands.
No, I looked hard.
Yeah, that was one of the things I really spent a little too much time on.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, one of the things that's really crazy about that whole thing is, all right, so paramedics would be needed, right? A hospital visit would be needed. There would be all of a sudden maybe 25 to 30 people who know that this has happened. It's going to leak. You're not going to keep you can't talk about this. Why?
I'll tell you why.
Why?
As we pointed out, it turns out that this is the first homicide in this very expensive village since it was incorporated since 1933. You're going to make the homicide worse by telling this grisly tale of.
I think so. You have the homicide, right? The poor guy is dead. His wife also was attacked, and these degenerates cut off her finger.
Supposedly, yes.
You want to this should enrage people.
Or it's going to drive down property. Listen, we're in Hewlett. We know how much our property values matter.
You know what? I think if Larry had lived, he would have said that. He's like, hold on. Do we have to release this? But he's dead. So
this is a good point.
It's also 1978. Property value, while high, of course, at that period of time, it wasn't quite like it is now. It's not as important.
True. Again, I keep going back and forth on whether or not this was true or false. I just wonder if
I want to believe it. It's an amazing addition to the entire story. I just would imagine that it would leak.
And I don't think it will. Think about the crimes that we read from them and how they're not really. I don't know. I feel like they leave stuff out.
Now, all right. So this diamond, right, would have had to have been covered by insurance.
Yes.
I mean, why even mention that the diamond existed?
Well, I think you mentioned the diamond existed so that as a way to trace down the crooks, the bandits. I think she would have taken the diamond off. Should this be true? I think she would have taken the diamond ring off of her finger. I think that she, I think that she was struggling and or it couldn't or whatever. And someone freaked out.
How much do you think that ring sold for? Like 10 grand?
I mean, it was 40,000 then. And then, I scrolled down. I found it. The diamond was pear-shaped, set in platinum with two baguettes on two sides. And I don't know what the fucking air bubble is. Bubbles on the right side. It was valued at 40,000 in 1978, which means roughly 182,000 now.
Yeah.
So how much do I think it sold for? Not enough.
Because all this stuff would get just fenced, you know, like it would go to the highest bidder.
And right. Unless this was a mob thing and they needed to bring back the diamond ring as proof.
Yeah, that's possible. It could have also. Well, yeah. I mean, proof could have also been like the guy's wedding ring, which is, you know, worth a couple $100. Or the dead body. Or his, like, underwear. I don't know. How about that? How about read the newspaper? There's your proof.
Right. But it also could have been they were sent here to do this and also this ring. I mean, 6.1 carats is like J-Lo size, you know.
Is it possible he had gambling debts and this ring was payment? I don't know. I mean, the guy didn't seem like he was low on cash.
No. What I was envisioning is perhaps... perhaps like the, you know, these like low level mobster, whatever goons, whatever we're calling them, were hired to do this job and then got, what's it called? Jealous, greedy.
Yeah, got greedy.
Got greedy and wanted the ring and, you know.
Yeah. I mean, well, the story goes that, the story I believe is that if Golder was involved, and we'll get to him in a moment, we have these two other people involved. And I think that those are people who would have brought the violence to the table.
I agree. I think Golder was Golder was born in Lynbrook and right. stole something from a Woolworths in Oceanside, Long Beach.
Yeah. This is a guy who went to White Castle, you know, like definitely, yeah. right? I mean, this is you want to go and stand in a place where Alan Golder stood, go to White Castle.
Yes.
No doubt about it, right? So, yeah, I mean, he's just like your average middle class. Well, it says he's
sure,
lower.
Sherwood Diner. I bet he visited there all the time.
You might have even robbed Sherwood Diner.
Probably. No, you wouldn't have done that because no. Sam Schwartz owned. No.
Was the Sherwood ever held up?
I don't know. But
I know
we
it was also in Good. It was referenced in Goodfellas, but we have to look into that.
Wait, I have to watch Goodfellas.
Yeah, it's a, they shot part of it. Well, it takes place in the Five Towns, partially.
Did not know that, but now I know what I'm working out to today.
Lots of fun. Actually, I have a painting around here somewhere by Henry Hill. That
interesting.
I guess there was this real low point before he passed away where he went on eBay and he was selling paintings. And I bought one of his paintings.
That is very interesting. Someone else famous did that recently, started selling off his stuff, and now I'm blanking on it. But
everybody, celebrities don't matter anymore.
No, it was the guy who was Alfred in one of the early Batman movies.
I wouldn't know that. But sounds interesting, though. I think that kind of stuff is always crazy because these people are hoarders. They probably have tons of stuff and they're like, I'll sell this.
Yeah. I agree.
So, yeah, we know for a fact that that Larry was killed. Definitely. We know that Carol called the police with her bloody stump of a hand to say that her husband, although we learned that was shot, was stabbed. Strange.
Yeah. Well, right. She thinks she's in the room. She says he's stabbed and he's shot, which I'm a little sus about Carol also, sorry to say.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder, like, were there insurance payments that were paid out? I couldn't find information about that.
I couldn't either. And Suffolk records are not as easy to find as Nassau.
So let's see. We learn the next day after the robbery that they bring out the dogs and they find a .38 caliber pistol. You reference that they issue a 13-state alarm.
Yeah, that's kind of an overkill, but yeah.
Yeah, it's like, why? It's a rich guy. Of course.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there were 18 people just shot in Brooklyn the night before, probably. So, whatever. Maybe they're guilty about this. So, let's see. They kind of find some of the jumpsuit that the guys were wearing, which I think is strange.
I think it's strange, too, that people are disrobing in the middle of December. A, that's evidence. B, it's December. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do we look up the weather for December? I'm going to look it up really quickly.
Okay, wait. Will you tell? That's fine. Wait, tell me. I'm this guy. Who's this guy?
Which? You just put in a thing. That's Sir something. I forget his name.
That's not helpful.
I know who you're talking. He's the guy who played Alfred in the Batman.
That's what I just said. I want to know his name.
I don't know. He's a sir, though.
Well, he started selling off stuff, but you look out the weather.
Alfred from Batman.
I just tried that, dude.
It is Michael Caine.
Michael Caine. I'm 90% sure Michael Caine started selling off his stuff recently.
It's Michael Caine. Holy cow, do you see one of the things he's selling?
No.
6.1 carat diamond ring. I'm just kidding.
Stop it. That would be amazing. He did. I'm correct. He started selling his art and film memorabilia.
His wife's name is Shakira. That's funny. All right. So that's Shakira Caine.
Yeah. In January 2022, Michael Caine started selling off his art and memorabilia. Explain that to me.
Well, he's probably like, he probably saw, and everybody should look into this. It's called The Art of Swedish Death Cleaning. I believe that's the exact term.
And is what this like is, another version of Marie
Kondo? Yes.
Okay.
but it's a little darker because it says, go through your things as though you're dead and look at the things that you're going to leave behind for people. And is this really what you want to leave as your legacy?
I really should show you a piece of my closet right now.
You showed me a picture and I was like, fire the maid. Arm her.
Yeah.
Or arm
there is no maid, and it's like my project. And Scott came in here over the weekend and started like cleaning shit. I was like, get out.
So, you need an armed maid. That's what I think. You know what? Do you have an armed maid at home? Please email us, Lindsay, LINDSAY, at crimesoflongisland.com. Let us know if you arm your maid.
Yeah, I am curious. That is an excellent point. Or if you think maids should be armed,
like a butler. If you have a butler, my butler is going to be armed. What else is he doing? He's opening the door like once a day. Butler.
Yeah, I know who we can ask. Oh, I know who I'm going to ask. Okay.
All right.
I know who I'm going to ask. Yeah.
I personally do think that you should arm these people on your staff. If you're worth this kind of money and if you're pissing off this many people and maybe you're a little mobbed up and you have 11 racehorses.
Yeah, I'm thinking of a big white house in the harbor with a defense attorney, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, beautiful house, beautiful woman, beautiful wife, lovely as can be. I wonder if the Russian maid is armed. Who knows?
You might not want to even ask, though, because it'd be like, why?
Oh, no, I can ask because she'll just giggle. It'll be fine. I mean, she's brilliant, but she's very good at, you know, whatever. Mm. So the suspect, so they find clothing, and then have you found the weather, by the way?
No, I didn't, but I'm looking it up. Sorry.
So it's reports that you just interrupt me when you find it. One of the suspects was between 18 to 20 years old, 5'7", slender, blonde, blue eyes, and wore a dark blue mask and a gray high neck sweater. Hmm. The other was 17 or 18. I don't know how the fuck people are approximating age here, but fine. And wore a quilted, high-quality navy ski outfit. And Mark made fun of me.
Well, I'm sure you got it from...
I plagiarized, bitch.
No, but I'm sure you read that somewhere. It's not like you came up with a high-quality, like, oh, it's a high-quality... Like, it was not a knockoff jumper, you know, or something.
I guess, but then also, how did... I mean, well, they're rich. That's how they knew. Fine. Okay. That makes sense. Right. So we said that the call is made to the police. The police come and Lever ends up dying over off of a severe hemorrhage. I forget what it is. He's dead.
Let me just mention the temperature. It was like average. Like it was like probably about like that night. It was a low of 35.
Okay, that's average.
Yeah. And it was not wet out or anything like that. It was.
Yeah, for me, that's I'm not leaving my house for the next 3 months, but yeah. Fine.
These guys had like those huge fireplaces that were the size of like cars.
Yeah, 100%. What else did police find? So here's the thing. This place is so freaking big. It takes them forever to search the estate. I'm sorry, but that's kind of funny. They used two dogs. And their handlers, by the way, they had to take the dogs from Suffolk. NASA has no police dogs. So I guess old Brookville is right on the edge.
Yeah, it's a weird area. It's all like estates and everything. So I mean,
I know, but I thought it was Suffolk.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was NASA. I was okay. When you said that, I believe you. I don't know.
No, I believe you now because it says that they had to borrow the dogs from Suffolk.
Suffolk.
So, yeah. And,
I made the little joke, but this goes back to the serial killer guy from
Lisk.
Yeah, Lisk. I forgot the name. I hate it so much. But it would be kind of interesting if they did find that leather belt.
By the way, someone on Reddit thinks they found out who HW is.
Really?
Yeah, I'll tell you about that later, or I'll record a separate piece on
Harvey Wallbanger.
because you want nothing to do with it, but I think it might be interesting. I sort of put it in the back of my mind for later. Yeah, so they find a chrome-plated 38
let
caliber.
Let me just take off my belt, and I'm going to leave it here with my initials on it.
Yeah. They find a chrome-plated 38 caliber pistol, another jacket, a pair of gloves, a ski mask, handcuffs with a key. Which is weird because, well, I guess once you kill Larry, you don't have to worry about anyone else.
I don't see why you don't just keep all this stuff unless you were hired to do it.
Right, but even so, yeah, I still, like, I know they didn't have cool forensics then, but fingerprints. Come on, assholes. Let's get this together.
Yeah, it makes no sense. Now, you found this interesting article about at the Great Neck Estates, which, I don't know, what is this, like 10 miles away?
Yeah.
They found a similar type of incident, similar sort of, where, but they only got $400 in cash.
And the guy's like, listen, what could I say? That, you know, it's not going to change my life. I was like, quote, fuck you.
They were very nice.
They were very nice, but they came at 3:45 a.m., prying open a kitchen door.
Let me just say that when I serve them coffee, they use the correct spoon to stir in the sugar cubes. You know, like, I don't know what they seem like they're more afraid to say anything in that little article.
I don't know. I think they're definitely minimizing it. Their home is worth $250,000. And so that's definitely less, you know, it's a different caliber. But again,
it's a $1 million house to today's
standards. I kind of feel like this is Lisk, though, like where we're tying together random shit as one, but whatever.
Apparently,
in January,
if you're
9th,
nice, if you just ask for it, people
yeah,
are very,
right. But
why is, like, he $400 in his wallet, by the way, in 1978? I mean, you're a dentist. I mean, dentists make great money and stuff, but $400, it's like carrying around like $5,000.
Right. And again, something sketchy there.
You know what it reminded me of? I'm sorry to interrupt you there.
No,
but American Psycho. Did you know the book?
American Psycho? Of course I know the book.
But that's the number. I don't know if you remember. He goes to the ATM to take it out because he always likes to have $400 on him.
I did not remember that.
Yeah,
but I love you for remembering some small minutia from a great book. So,
well, there's like such a creepiness to how I need to have $400 in case I meet the right hooker or something like that so I can kill her with something, you know.
Oh, object. I didn't know that part. Okay.
What, American? Yeah. We got, I don't know if you, did you read the book? Because the book
is. Of course.
Is,
I've read the book twice. I've seen the movie. I don't like the movie.
Well, he didn't say
fine.
That, but that's the impression I got. It's
gotcha.
Not like he wants to buy Legos. He wants to, you know,
I'm
kill
just
hookers.
Thinking my son would want $400 to buy Legos. You know.
Of course.
Yeah.
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 God bless him.
So in January of 1979, the family offers a $25,000 reward for anyone with knowledge of the killers. This is approximately $100,000 today.
Not bad.
Not bad. Oh, and then they find a screwdriver.
So the screwdriver is the only thing so far that really sounds like Golder, because we learn later that he would use those things to scale houses and to enter second-story windows.
That feels... I mean, I know I'm kind of... I know I'm pleasantly plump, but you can use a screwdriver to scale a house? I mean...
No, he would use it to pry open the windows.
Okay. Makes much more sense.
Yeah. Like, what? Now... If you were to go in my backyard, I bet you'll find a random screwdriver somewhere. Now, is it possible?
But Mark, you're putting together a car.
No, my car is put together.
Okay, you put together a car.
No, but you're right. But I would say you found a screwdriver. It's almost like saying, like, we found a beer can, you know,
yes.
in the woods, yes. You know, and it's like, oh, it must be the killers. No, it's probably the teenagers who snuck out here. And they probably did drop the screwdriver. I just don't.
No, I agree with you. I don't think teenagers dropped it. I just think if you have 30 acres of land, it's totally possible that one day a handyman
right.
leave something behind. And who knows how long it was out there because they didn't have any like.
Right, it's like an antique screwdriver. I don't know. It's been here since 1850 or something. Like that.
But they didn't have any way of figuring that out then. So.
And that's all they found. And when we really think about this, all right, they found the handcuff key, the jacket and all that kind of, that stuff is pretty good, but not everything they found, like a hubcap or something. It's
right.
Not
and
important.
They found the handcuffs with the key.
Right. Did they use handcuffs on anyone?
So I, you know, I'm not sure. And I might have something on it later, but introduce us to Alan Golder, please.
On June 6th, 1980, musician Alan Golder. I don't know what kind of musician he is. I don't know what kind of instrument
Probably
he plays.
Not a great one. I imagine the flute.
A crystal flute? No, so he maybe he was a crooner.
Ooh, yeah.
24 years old. He was living all the way on the other side of the country over in Hollywoodland, California.
Troubadour. He was a troubadour.
Was he really?
No. Oh. I just really like that word, and it took me a minute to get there.
What is a troubadour? It's the
did you ever watch? No, but Gilmore Girls? No.
I did. Yeah, believe it or not, I've watched Gilmore Girls.
Okay. It's the guy who like walks around town singing.
Oh, like that, doing that kind of stuff?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
All right. Maybe usually Spanish, maybe.
Racist? I don't know.
No, he had like something in his midriff is very tight, but his pants are very flared.
Yeah, that's a bullfighter, but it's like it's literally like someone who walks around town singing.
Me, me, me. All right, so that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So Alan Golder, troubadour, 24 of Hollywoodland, California. He was stopped by police when he was leaving a court hearing in Rye. When I hear Rye, I think New York.
It was New York.
So it was New York, where he had to stand trial for yet another armed robbery. So he does have a history of armed robbery, even though, like, we learn later that he normally didn't have weapons, except for the screwdriver. At least that's what I kind of got from it.
I agree. And, or, I mean, maybe a knife. I just don't see this guy having a gun. I mean, I don't see him being associated with crime.
Are you armed if you have a knife, or is that... I don't know.
Are you armed if you have a screwdriver? If you're threatening someone, you're armed.
So if I have a rock, I'm armed?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. You all know better than me. You.
Well, it would be, I am married to a...
Yeah, I was going to say, you and your husband combined to be a super-brained, higher educated person than me.
Well, it's 75% me, 20... I'm just kidding. He's brilliant. But
he's learned everything he knows from you.
Yeah, it's just the offense depends on... The severity of the offense depends on the weapon used.
Okay. But a rock could be considered armed.
If you hit some with it and they die.
Would a Rubik's Cube? No. So Golder had been a suspect for months, as per Nassau County. The inspector, Donald Kane, said this. He's held on $1 million bail. I have a question about bail. This has nothing to do with this in particular. When you pay bail... Okay.
Yes. I know the answer.
No, yeah. I'm not going to talk about the amount. You probably think I'm going to say, like, you know, how much do you have to put down? But no. Do you get that money back?
Yes. All right. If the person shows up, it allows them to be free until the trial date, after which you get that money back.
You get 100%. Is there interest on it?
There's got to be, no, because bail bondsmen have to take a percentage of it.
Yeah. But bail bondsmen basically just put up the money if you don't have it, right?
Correct.
And you only have to put up, I think, 10%, from what I understand from, like, stupid TV shows that I watch.
That is what I understand from much Law and Order as well.
All right, so $100,000 he has to come up with in cash, which he probably could, but then he would have to explain where the $100,000 came from.
No.
Oh, really?
They don't ask that.
Oh, they just want the money. And hopefully you skip bail, and then it's like, woohoo, 100 grand.
Yeah, for some reason, they don't account for that.
So apparently Golder had earned the nickname of the Dinner Time Bandit. I don't know by who. I guess by newspapers, because he would quietly steal jewelry while his victims were eating dinner, acting early in the evening and targeting several estates in the very wealthy Greenwich Village. Now, is this Greenwich Village, Manhattan?
Yeah, Greenwich Village. No, Connecticut.
Connecticut.
I still think I spelled it wrong, but
yeah, I just say Greenwich. I'm assuming it's Greenwich, but I don't know. You also wrote Village.
Yeah, listen,
It's cute. Village. I would love to live in a village.
I
put in my little note, but we'll get to it in the future, where he burglarized celebrities as well. But
yeah, I want us. Make sure I get a thorough explanation for that.
I don't have a thorough one. I just read it. But so Golder grew up in Lynbrook, which is just... We can walk there in about 5 minutes.
Yes, we'd like to apologize to our listeners because we can't seem to get the fuck out of the South Shore.
We will.
Yeah. Okay.
And from what I understand, he grew up poor, right? He grew up in what he referred to as a shack in Lynbrook.
I don't know if we have shacks, but fine.
There aren't that many bad parts of Lynbrook that I can't really think of any bad parts of Lynbrook that are where people live.
No, but there is like, so there is like a side, I feel like there is a side of the,
like, you know, like, I don't want to, you know, pinpoint any part of Lynbrook, but what I was thinking is where the Cablevision building is, and they have this huge satellite, a complete eyesore near the cemetery.
I didn't even know we had a cemetery in Lynbrook. I was more thinking, I just know from like school districts where like there's one elementary school that's considered like better and one considered worse.
Is there in Lynbrook? I didn't know that.
Yeah, although we have the same thing too, but it's like there definitely appears to be an invisible, this is what I've heard from, you know, people, like a side of the tracks thing, but mm-hmm. I don't know.
I like Lynbrook.
I have no problems with Lynbrook. Lynbrook.
So, and if you're from Lynbrook, send Lindsay an email. We have to test her email. Lindsay at crimesoflongisland.com.
We have to test it. What do you think? We haven't already gotten 5,000? We just want to see if my email account can hold more than 5,000.
Yeah. It's overflowing. It's too much. We learned that he stole some stuff from Woolworths and Island Park. I don't think there ever was a Woolworths and Island Park, but there was one in Oceanside.
Okay. Yeah.
just pointing it out. There were things to... I read that he grew up in Island Park, I lived in Island Park briefly, and I can totally see somebody like Alan Golder growing up in Island Park personally.
I can as well, but I, as you know, I am the research goddess, and not the spelling goddess in this case, but this is what I got from several different places. I like to try to confirm things twice before I write it.
No,
but
we also learn how he stole from record stores. He did all of this kind of crazy stuff. His wife was his mother, a little bit of a slip.
Freudian slip.
Yeah. On his part. His mother was a part-time waitress at a bowling alley. I don't know of any bowling alleys outside of the Five Towns.
It would be inside the Five Towns.
Well, there were only two here. One is the one that's there now. What is
the one by the Sunrise Highway?
No, the one in Woodmere.
Oh, right. Oh, well, then it was totally there, hands down.
Or Ficarro's, which is where the kosher market is in Lawrence now.
Oh, okay. I got a third, the one by the Rockville Center one.
Oh, the big one. Yes, 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 yes. I bet it was that one. I want to say it was that one.
I want to say it was the one in Woodmere.
The backstage.
Yeah, there's a lot of shady shit happens.
That's
there,
the
yeah.
first place I ever bought my first, well, the first place I ever bought an illegal beer. Like I was illegally served beer for the first time there when I was like 15 or 16.
This episode has been sponsored by
The backstage?
The backstage.
The backstage where they serve people 6 years too early.
6 years too early? You were 15?
Yeah, I went with a friend and he was like, you should get a beer. I'm like, they're not going to give me a beer. So he's like, blah, blah, blah. And they served me a beer. And I took a sip. I'm like, ugh, I don't like beer.
Oh, it tastes like shit.
It's like, I'll have a slow gin fizz, please.
Yeah. How about a Bartles and James?
You have anything with an umbrella?
This was the other thing. I read that his father was, quote, an unsuccessful career criminal. I mean, if you're unsuccessful at something, is it your career? Do you keep fucking doing it? I don't know.
Well, look at like Nassau County politicians.
True.
It seems like it's their careers.
True.
Yeah, I don't know. I would say that that's just a dig at him. It's kind of like, we're talking about your father now.
I agree. So the story goes, he starts stealing stuff and home invasions and burglaries, and then he's recognized by the Genovese crime family.
Genovese, but yeah.
Okay, I pronounce it Genovese, and Scott corrected me.
He might know better than me, but as far as I know, the Genovese crime family is...
We're going with Genovese.
Yeah.
Genovese?
I think you might get punched in the nose if you call him Genovese.
I don't know. I'm not Italian.
How about it? Genovese. How about that? Yeah. Genovese. Mozzarella.
And you're the one who saw Goodfellas, so.
Twice. So Crime Family is Genovese Crime Family, which is big, you know, it's like right up there with the Cuomos. And
Oh, nice. It's one of the five five New York.
It's like the
families, right?
Like the D'Amatos, the Cuomos, the Trumps. They're right, right up there with all of the criminals. So,
right.
All right, we're not getting political here. They're all criminals.
I was going to say Trump. I thought you'd get mad, but no, there's five families of the mafia or mob or whatever. It's five families, right?
In all honesty, the dinner, the killing of Larry Lever comes off to me anyway as somebody who was kind of like a Donald Trump. Poor.
I'm listening.
You know, no, and I really get that. I think that.
I know. Say more. I'm curious.
Never say in a million years that I don't think that Donald Trump has some shady ass dealings in life outside of politics, you know, like before he even came to the realm.
100%.
There's no doubt about it. I wouldn't question that for one second. And I guarantee that probably Larry Lever probably even dealt with Donald Trump on some level. I bet you there's a photo out there. It's floating somewhere.
That would be Lever amazing.
It would be pretty cool. Because, you know, Trump met everybody. But So, that's kind of what I see. And I hate to say it, but before Donald Trump became like this, you know, politician, I would not be so surprised if there was a home invasion and somebody shot Trump. God forbid. I don't want anybody getting shot. It's just, I wouldn't be, would you be surprised about any of this? And if you were to learn that it's like mob, you know, a mob hit?
I 100% think this was a mob hit.
So, we have a guy who's being brought up on, he's being pointed at as like, he's the person, he has Genevieve's connection, Genevieve's lovely family, and a friend of the show. But yeah, Genevieve's one of the big
Is it one of the five? There's five. That's all I've got so far.
Yeah, I really don't remember their names.
Okay.
Do you?
No, I don't know anything about it yet. I'm waiting for us to do an episode so I learn.
I legitimately said Cuomo, like seriously. I'm like, oh no, not Cuomo. Like they're politicians. Yeah, I can't remember their names.
I mean, one is Banano. One is Banano.
Banano. What?
I swear to fuck. Yep.
All right, hold on. The five crime people are like, what kind of fucking Long Islanders are these two to not know the names of the five crime families?
All right, the five families are, what the fuck? Oh my god!
Oh, here we go. Yeah, you're right. Banano.
I know because I know.
Columbo, which Gambino crime family, big one, and Lucchese.
I don't know. Do they have any like phonetics pronunciation of these things?
Of course not.
Okay.
The big L's, the best of the families. I think it's Lucchese.
Is there not a Genovese?
Well, they're not considered like a part of the big five at some point.
Okay.
I always thought they were though.
Oh, wait, I got it. Genovese. It is Genovese. I'm reading phonetically, but which doesn't mean I'm reading it.
Yeah, because it's probably pronounced like Genovese.
Yes. Yes.
It's Genovese. Like, I don't, but I'm not going to get into pronouncing it like an Italian.
No, but the interesting thing is they're largely associated with New Jersey.
Well, here's like, there's like a lot of slashes. We have the Maranzano and Banano family.
Yeah.
Profaci, Colombo family, Mangano, which is a politician, Gambino family, Luciano, Genovese family, Gagliano, which is just crazy, of Gag in there, and Lucchese family.
This is a lot.
I feel like going to a San Gennaro feast.
Oh, I'm so excited. Netflix is coming up with a... Netflix has a documentary about...
The five families?
Oh, no. Oh, damn it. No, it's about the hockey league,
which
is a great documentary. But anyways,
you're the sports person. I don't really like sports.
I know, which is sad. But yeah. So so basically, between 1976 and 80, Golder allegedly stole an estimated $25 million worth of jewels and cash, some of which or enough of which he would try to fence it.
And he kind of got the attention of the crime family, and it was like, hey, this guy's bringing up a lot of good stuff, maybe we should, you know, make a connection,
right?
which is smart. I would imagine that, you know, that's how you find talent.
I don't know.
You go down to the fence store and hang out a little while.
Right. But I feel like usually they like take someone under their wing for a little bit and you work their way. They work their way up. And
I don't know how any of that works. It scares me how that all works. And I do have like kind of, I think a healthy fear of organized crime.
Yeah, sure.
Like, okay. I don't even want to say their names wrong.
Right. I mean, I have a healthy fear of snakes, which I'm much more likely to come across.
Snakes. Huh. Now, what doesn't make sense here at all is Alan Golder normally would choose stuff. I mean, at this point, he was on the West Coast. So why is he coming all the way to New York? Unless it was for a specific hit. Not a hit.
I agree. But
a specific robbery that went wrong.
Right. Maybe. Or maybe the point was a hit. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think we'll ever know. But Alan Golder, let's see. How did they catch him? Like, that was...
It's tough to catch him, but it's even tougher to hold him. Mm-hmm. But can you please tell me this Johnny Carson story?
Oh, no. He was... So Alan Golder claimed to have robbed a number of celebrities' homes. And he's trying to sell the story to a number of different places.
Right. Yeah.
One of those people was Johnny Carson. And they pressed charges. And the charges were dropped somehow. Because his attorney was like badass. Maybe threatened Johnny Carson's people. I don't know. But... but Johnny Carson, wasn't he kind of known as somebody who was kind of involved a little bit in crime? Maybe he just said, look, drop the charges, FBI informant.
I don't know, actually. I've never heard that before.
I think all these guys seem a little bit connected. You know, entertainment, early entertainers and stuff. Like, you've seen The Godfather, you know, you see it, the way all that kind of...
Yes, I have.
...is presented. Yes. So, I don't know. I'm just... I think that... It makes sense to me that these people are all connected. And I think Golder is an FBI informant.
Okay. I could go. That's the only reason he would keep getting released. 100%.
I mean, he's getting slaps on the wrist and he's being allowed to reward his attorney with a Cadillac as like a bonus. And
yeah, and not like everyone does that, I don't think.
Well, it's an open secret. It's like or kind of a slap in the face.
I agree. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, how do you do that? I mean, it's so clear you're guilty. You're not caught yet.
You're mobbed up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Golder's arrested and pleads guilty to an accessory to the murder of Lawrence Lever. But I kind of love this part. He claims that Lever's house was so big, he didn't even know Lever died. What the fuck?
Yeah, like, where are they?
I mean, to me, that's clearly either... he did it or it's bullshit or he wasn't even there.
I mean isn't it also possible that Golder hired these guys to do his work?
Do you think he would do that? Because I think he's an ego fucking maniac.
Yeah, I don't think we'll ever learn. I mean, he clearly wants to tell his story. He wants to sell it to like
Jimmy Breslin.
Yeah, I mean, Paramount Pictures apparently paid $25,000 for the story.
Right, but it doesn't get why? Like, why doesn't the story ever come to light? That's the other thing that makes me think.
Do you know what year it was that he sold this?
I thought so. I feel like you said it. It was in like 2000 something.
Yeah, maybe there's just no market for this kind of thing right now.
When would there be no market?
I don't know. What was the last mob movie that did well? Like, you had that Scorsese abysmal Netflix thing with with De Niro. It was just terrible, about the Irish mafia. And I don't know. When was the last time we had a decent mob movie that actually did well?
I don't know.
The 90s, maybe. So I don't know. Maybe it's shelved for that reason. Maybe it's shelved because it makes so many claims that it's just complete nonsense. Maybe, I mean, to sell the story for $25,000 is kind of low.
Yes, I agree.
I'm pretty sure that that's at least equivalent to how much Alfred Hitchcock paid the author of Psycho for this story, and he felt as though he was completely ripped off. So $25,000, maybe it was just to shut him up. All right, here's some money. Stop sending us your scripts.
Yes. Okay. 1998 was when this happened.
Yeah.
And he, right. 1998 was when someone bought his script.
I mean, Casino. Casino was like a big mob movie. That was about like Vegas being built.
Right. And that was.
I'm looking it up. 95. So, I mean, we're kind of inundated with these kind of movies. It's probably a billion of them made. Actually, right here on Long Island. One of
yes, we mention this every episode, but go for it because I still haven't seen it.
What, Amongst Friends?
Oh no, I was going with the beach one that we talk about a lot.
You don't. So Amongst Friends. Let me see when this came out. Yeah, so this is directed by Rob Weiss, who he went to Lawrence High School. I went to school with his younger brother, and like half my high school's in this movie, which is weird. Amongst Friends takes place in right here. In the Five Towns, like yeah, right here.
What's the beach movie that we talk about?
Oh,
a lot?
City by the Sea. That's what City De Niro. By the Sea. Yeah. I don't think it's as much mob, but I haven't seen that one. I also haven't seen Amongst Friends, to be honest with you. But Rob Weiss would, you know, I'm still friendly with him. He did like Entourage, and he did a number of other things. He's a great success story coming out of Long Island, but he lives on the West Coast now. Hopefully, he's not getting robbed by people like Golder.
Right.
But back to Golder. So Golder just kind of like gets in and out. He gets busted. But finally, let's see, he actually serves 15 years in prison.
Yep.
Which is really kind of that's a pretty big thing for somebody like Golder who, I don't know, they would catch him and they let him go. Don't you think 15 years is kind of a lot for this?
Maybe. No. I guess my...
They didn't seem like... I didn't see a lot of evidence that brings Alan as the 100% killer.
No, but remember, everyone's corrupt.
Yeah. So how did they make 15 years in prison stick?
Well, what's 1996 minus 15?
What? 1996 minus 15 is 1981? Yeah.
Okay, so it's 81, so it's possible that within the Genovese crime family, there was some sort of a turnover, and maybe that's what happened?
It's possible. It was definitely a weird time, 1981. The early 80s, late 70s. I don't know. The whole thing is just kind of crazy. But yeah, so he's released in 1996. He goes right back to his union job as a burglary person. A burglar? Yeah. A burglar, right? A burglar.
Burglar.
It's a weird word. In 1998, he heads over to Europe after he's named in a warrant where he's suspected of continuing all of these burglaries that he's clearly doing.
Yes.
I mean, was he just addicted to the job? It seems like he would have made enough money at this point.
I agree. And I don't think it, I think he was. I just don't think he was guilty of all of these things.
Yeah. Well, they found him in Belgium, probably drinking a good beer.
Oh, wait. Hold on. You know what happened in 1981? One of the Genovese people. No, he was a Gambino. He was a Genovese capo and a Gambino ally became the first mafia boss to be convicted under the RICO Act.
Huh.
I'm just saying the timing fits, so maybe, I don't know, maybe he wasn't protected anymore, maybe.
It's definitely possible. Yeah. I'm looking for this one. Oh, no. All right. So I do have a story to share in the future having to do with Gotti. Gotti is like the big modern family,
yes.
Right? Where a friend of mine, a very close friend of mine's father, I might have shared this with you in the future, was a bomb.
You might have expert. Shared this with me in the future. That's weird.
Oh, I might have. Yeah, I would. Yeah. It's true. So, one of my best friend's father actually created a bomb to kill John Gotti and killed the wrong person back in 1986. Oh. So, that's another story for the future. Maybe I can get my friend to come on and talk about
it. I would love that.
It's actually a really sad story because after his father had, you know, they were ultra crazy wealthy because of organized crime and they lost everything. It's crazy. Like, there's a Sotheby's book of auctioning all of this crazy shit that the guy owned.
That is, like, that we're talking
like
John awful.
F. Kennedy's like class ring type of level of collection of stuff. But yeah, I mean, well, I mean, I'm also, he did terrible things. So I can't.
Yes, really, bomb building is not good.
I just feel bad my friend had to go through that. But maybe I'll try to convince that in the future. But that's a crazy story on its own. So to
wrap it up, he remains in jail to this.
But who busted him? In Belgium? I mean, is it Interpol? Is Interpol really involved at this level?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that if they are, it's to get him to turn over some sort of evidence or information.
Now, this is bullshit. You don't arrest a burglar in Belgium unless it's Interpol being, you know, brought into it. And who's going to bring in Interpol? The FBI.
Right. Right.
You're not going to have, like, you know, hey, this is Nasser Kani, this is Captain Jim.
Yeah, right.
And talk to Interpol.
Right. And he's arrested and then he's charged with 40 counts of burglary. And then he's.
It is a weird word, right?
Burglary. Yeah, it is sort of awkward. And then he's convicted in Connecticut. I don't know how he got out, but he got there. I guess they didn't think to put him in jail, but he's convicted in Connecticut in 2008 on two counts of burglary, a kidnapping charge, a larceny charge. The kidnapping was due to Golder having tied up a woman during a burglary. I'm back to him not being a killer.
Yeah, like he's not killing people.
No, he looks like Rico Suave.
Or he thinks he does, as you said.
No, you didn't click on my little link. Below. I did.
Wait, the IMDb one?
Yeah, I was the guy at the end of Ocean's 12, the like smooth French. Yeah, that's what he thinks he looks like.
Oh,
that's
I mean, he's got like the nice white starched shirt and just hanging out at the
exactly.
beach.
Yeah.
It's a good look.
Exactly. I have a lot of problem with him doing this, especially because, you know, Mr. Culp, Golder's lawyer, once told the police that Mr. Golder would refer to himself as the best second story man in the business, one who had taken millions of dollars in jewels and homes, blah, blah, blah. Using this quote, skills of free climbing, he was totally fucking climbing with screwdrivers, including scaling trellises.
Maybe, yeah.
Columns and drain pipes. He would slip in through second story windows, usually into master bedrooms to seek out the jewels. The deed done, he would often run for miles to a getaway car. He would carry a diamond tester to check the goods. That's fucking crazy.
That's cool though. Well, hey, what's a diamond tester? One of those like monocles?
I don't fucking know, but
nobody's doing this. You just grab it and run.
Yeah, you grab the shit and run. Exactly.
What? Oh, I'm sorry. It's only 2 carats. I'm not taking this. And the clarity is just embarrassing.
And so I believe, according to that screenshot you posted, he's still in jail? He's still in prison?
Yeah. And there's, I'm scrolling down.
He's in Connecticut, prison in Connecticut.
Until 2031, is that right? I don't know where this, there we go. Yeah, until February 25th, 2031.
Yep.
Hang in there, buddy.
Hang in there. And then I put this in because I thought this was a little interesting. So
can we write to Alan Golder?
I'm sorry?
Can we write to Alan Golder?
Yeah.
We can, right? We can.
Uh-huh.
I've never written to an inmate.
I have.
Have you ever gotten a response?
I have.
Would you encourage this?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. So it, in 1981, there is a party to celebrate Suffolk County's excellent police work, which is funny if you think about it.
When is that? When is the amazing?
It's in 1981. I lost the date.
Oh, I thought you were saying it was coming up.
Oh, no, because we should go. We would go to.
Because the things you've learned about the way Suffolk County was put together.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy in 1981 that they're patting themselves on the back when it's like a bunch of like, you know, rednecks.
Worse than rednecks. Yeah. Not that there's anything wrong with a redneck, but yeah. So in 1981, there's a party to celebrate the good work of the Suffolk County Police Department and Carol. Carol Lever, formerly known as Lever, shows up, and she is already remarried.
Hmm.
So the the police celebration was December 21st, 1981. Carol Lever has remarried within 3 years, which I tried to look up how common or not common that is. And it's very difficult to find for that time. It's much easier to find how long second or third marriages last.
Right.
But there is a picture of her smiling and happy and no hands in the picture, unfortunately.
Now, that's not with her husband, right?
No, that's with one of the police chiefs.
Yes, I was going to say there's like a badge right there.
Yeah, that's a police chief.
Yeah, no hands.
And she's remarried. And you can, I mean, I found her on Facebook, but.
No pictures of her hands.
No pictures of her hands.
Which is also kind of suspicious.
Well, she doesn't have a lot of pictures. And unfortunately her husband, the man that she married after Lever, he did pass away in, I believe it was 2009 or 2019. And she is clearly still mourning his death by
her. Well, she was 45 in 78, right?
Yeah.
So what is she, 90?
40. Oh, please math for me.
She's like in her late 80s.
Yeah, I would imagine the man she married was older than her.
No, but I'm saying like she's still, you know, around at that age.
Yeah, no, she's still around at that age. My Aunt Gloria is like 90. So, you know, and my grandmother on my father's side lived till 98.
Mm.
So, you know,
to clarify, what is your family connection?
Right. So my maternal grandmother, her brother, so my great uncle married Lawrence Lever's first wife.
Okay.
So I asked my aunt, who's a lawyer, what that means, and she gave me two different answers, and it's like second cousin once removed. I don't know, but I do remember meeting Stephen Lever's children when I was younger, before we moved from New York to Florida. I met them. There may be three, but when I met them, there were only two of them. And the eldest boy was a year younger than me, 6 months younger than me, and rode my bus to school. And somewhere I have a picture of him, actually. An awkward Polaroid picture, but...
but a picture, nonetheless.
Yeah, but a picture. And this is one of the stories that I grew up knowing, but not... My family has a lot of weird stories, like, and it wasn't until we started this that I thought about it. So,
Now, as far as you know, this ring is not floating around in the family.
It's not like, no.
Like when my mother died, like all of my family was like, you know, they're a bunch of rabid animals. So my mother had one particular platinum ring, which she always really loved. And so I took that and I did not sell it. I did not get rid of it. And it's something that I'll keep as a memory. And a bunch of savages, actually, in my family. So I'm just kind of, you know, you never know.
No, I don't. Yeah, it did not show up. To the best of my knowledge, this wing did not show up in the family. But since recall this, my great aunt is Lever's first wife. So she wouldn't have really had anything to do with him. And then she married my great uncle, who I remember quite fondly, shortly after that.
Very interesting, though. And from what you understand, at least the word in the family is that it's possible that they had to remove her finger in order to remove the ring.
Yeah, I mean, I distinctly remember hearing this. And I know, and Lever's two kids, Steve and Ellen, I've definitely met Ellen before. And
if you're going to cut off if you're going to cut off a finger, right? Isn't it almost easier just to cut the band and bend it? I mean,
platinum band.
I think if you can cut through bone, you can cut through platinum.
I think you're right, but my other thought is that perhaps,
and that damages the ring, of course.
Right. But the diamonds are worth more than I think. Right. But I think I think this may be one of these like family lores of like. It could be a ghost story that's just increased over time. You know, I don't really know. But I mean, I just remember hearing.
I want to believe it. Until I see her hands, I do believe it. It's a fact. And yeah, I hope it's not true, actually.
I do as well.
I believe it might be, though, because we don't see our hands. I used to watch this YouTuber. I only saw him stand once. Finally, I'm like, he's in a wheelchair. I was convinced this guy's in a wheelchair.
No, he just stood up.
I'm like, holy cow, he's not in a wheelchair.
What a bummer.
But he was in a wheelchair as a fact until I saw that. So until I see this, she's in a wheelchair. I need to see her hand.
I agree.
Maybe somebody goes to the same, I don't know what religion they are. Maybe somebody goes to the same shul.
You don't know what religion they are? Yeah. I'm pretty sure you do. But I don't know.
Take a little picture, a little iPhone action, send it to Lindsay.
Yes, let's be invasive. Stop.
Send that photo to Lindsay, and you get a free sticker. We'll make the stickers.
I am in the process of making stuff, remember?
Yeah, you said you were making business cards. I don't know who you're going to give them to, though.
Well, when I talk to people and I tell them that I have a podcast, I'll just whip out and be like, oh, here.
Well, I'm going to put this out there as just food for thought. So, every year, Long Island has a convention, a comic book convention called Eternal Con. I guess this is relevant because it's Long Island. And it's kind of like a miniature version of Comic-Con. It's affordable, too. You can go each day is like $25 or $30.
I just saw something about this on like district page, library page, something. Okay.
Oh, really? But Eternal Con comes in summer. And I'm thinking about getting a table and promoting podcasts.
Yes.
So maybe we should do a Crimes of Long Island table. It's pretty affordable to do it. And maybe we can do that. And we can even do a live show from the convention.
That's a fit. I'm in.
All right. So we'll talk about that more after. But, you know, keep us in mind. And even if we end up not doing it, Eternal Con is something your kids would probably love.
Right. Like, and you can come and meet us and yell at us. And I will be wearing a bulletproof vest and gloves.
Yeah. Because I'll have a hidden gun. I'll have my butler with me who's armed. I'm going to get a butler one day. I can't afford a butler. My house is far too small for a butler. But I want a butler. Butler for the day.
I don't want a butler.
Armed. An armed butler.
I want a secretary.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind having somebody I can say, take a note. No. I don't need anybody to take notes. I need somebody to go through all of my stuff and do editing and to do show notes. And well, you do show notes, but
I do show notes.
Well, but then I have to, you know, you have to correct your spelling.
Fuck you.
Village.
Village.
Village. No. So, Lindsay, I guess we've come to the end. Have we finished this?
We have finished this.
Put this to death. You have some fun facts, or you have 2 pages of fun facts.
I do, but that's for me. If anyone has any more information, something we missed, something we messed up, feel free to email us. It's Lindsay, LINDSAY, at Crimes of Long Island.
I do have a question. So is the photo I posted of Alan Golder, is that really what he looks like?
Yeah.
Cool looking guy, right? He could live in Lynbrook.
Sure, he's cool for Lynbrook. Yeah. No, he's cool for you know what he's cool for? He's cool for that bar below the Valley Stream train station.
It looks like you had a few in that picture.
Yeah, it does.
He kind of reminds me a little bit of Carl. Carl F.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. No, I don't think so. I think
they don't look alike, but they kind of look like they probably have the same height and build.
Okay, I'll trust you.
All right.
I just want Carl to like me more than he does, so.
Yeah, he doesn't like you at all.
No, he does not. No, he does not.
He's never said anything negative to me about you.
You wouldn't tell me if he did. Anyways, Mark, thank you for allowing us to do this episode, and thank you for letting me do a little bit of family, you know, weirdness.
It's always good. And, you know, we have so much more to talk about both of our families. I can't wait to hear more about yours.
And I can't wait to hear more about yours.
All right.